Here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Welcome to the new era of content management with Contentful. Say goodbye to the limitations of traditional content systems and hello to a world where collaboration sparks innovation. With Contentful, you're not just managing content, you're creating content-first, multi-brand experiences across all channels effortlessly. The best part? It requires zero coding. Empower your teams to collaborate and innovate, delivering impactful digital experiences at scale. Contentful's AI-driven platform not only streamlines content creation, but also ensures it aligns perfectly with your brand. Ready for a game changer? Start with Contentful for free today. Unleash the potential of your digital content and drive your business forward. Learn more at contentful.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Svelte Radio, or can we say Elixir Svelte Radio? Who knows? I'm joined by my beautiful co-hosts, Brittany and Anthony. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what have you been up to? I hear Brittany is working on SVGs and she's not happy.
Am I ever happy when I'm working on anything, banging my head against the wall? I mean, I don't know. I typically like SVGs, but I can't get JavaScript to work nicely for me more than the SVGs.
Size of SVGs. Yeah, I've been working on point of sale systems, so potentially Ooh. Not better.
Yeah, that sounds gnarly. Yeah. I've been ill after Svelte Summit. I got a fever and I've been knocked out for like a week. It's been nice. Just been laying in bed.
It's like every year for you, you're cursed or something.
I think so, yeah. And double cursed as well. So they were redoing my water pipes in the apartment for 10 weeks, renovating the bathroom. And we tried running the dishwasher. So we were meant to move in this Friday. And we tried the dishwasher on the Friday. And then we left to come back on Saturday to actually move in properly. And there was water on the floor. So now there's water damage in the apartment. So I can't move in for another week or two.
Yay.
But yeah, anyway, that's a funny story.
But you can't wait to get moved in and buying furniture, can you?
Well, actually, no furniture was damaged. So.
No, but I mean, you famously don't have any furniture and you continue to not have furniture.
Oh,
I just live in a completely barren, empty room, barren, empty apartment, yeah. I assume.
Maybe I should just have one of those like, NVIDIA things behind me.
Yeah, that
just that's kind of like the Swedish style, though, like minimalism, IKEA, like just very.
I think the difference between minimalism and nothing. Minimal means a little, like nothing is.
Dog on Kevin Day.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin. I feel like this is a trouble today. All right, so. Why are we here today? No, we're here. We're joined by a guest. Wout, hello. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're splendid, except for the story that I just told about not moving, not being able to move in. So you're here to talk about Elixir and Svelte because you joined the hackathon earlier this year and submitted a really cool package called LiveSvelte. But before we get into that, maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself. Like, how did you get started in software development and things like that?
Yeah, so I got started when I was younger, just as an interest, but professionally, I would say 8 years ago. And I started doing Django and Python development. And then I basically did Django and Python until last year, I would say. And also I started doing some Svelte and Vue first, I think 5 years ago, and then Svelte like around 3 years ago. Yeah. And then in the last 2 years, I've been really interested in Elixir. So that's sort of where the story is now.
Cool.
So Elixir, is that to do with Phoenix Live View? Because I understand my friend was really into it at one point. He also uses Svelte, actually.
That still doesn't help me. What is Phoenix Live View? What is all of that?
Well, I think we start with what is Elixir.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, which one's first? Chicken, egg? I don't know.
I would say you start with Erlang first, but maybe we
should. Yeah. Right. Fair enough.
So, like, just briefly, like, Elixir is a language built on top of Erlang and built on top of the Erlang virtual machine, or yeah, it's also called Beam. And it's, yeah, how to describe it? It's like a functional language. It has very, they say it's a fault tolerance, so you can let it crash and it can re-heal itself, sort of. And it has great concurrency. So that's basically Elixir. So it's, I would say it's like a more, like language-wise, it's like a more easy Haskell, I would say. Like a little bit more easy to understand.
Erlang was built for concurrency, right? It's built by Ericsson, the mobile phone company.
Yeah, so originally it was built to connect phone systems together. Yep. And it was first like an internal project at Ericsson, and then they decided to open source it, and then like it got a little bit popular. But Erlang itself is not a very nice language to work with. It has some weird quirks, and Elixir sort of tries to solve that, where it's like a little bit more modern in the way it tries to do some things.
I think Elixir's revived Erlang a bit, because it, like you said, it was popular at one point. I remember in 2005 we hired an Erlang guy who built this chat system using Erlang, and we said, cool, you need to hire someone else for your team, and he couldn't find a single person in the UK or outside the UK even who knew Erlang. So it was interesting.
You should have gone to Sweden. I hear we do more than furniture, right?
We don't do furniture at all, let's be fair. Right. Don't have
right.
any furniture.
Ha ha. All right. So Elixir is a backend language, right? You don't write front end stuff, obviously, because you can only do that in JavaScript.
So Elixir itself, yes. So, but then in the past recent years, a little bit more also information. So Phoenix is sort of the web framework for Elixir. So like Django, Ruby on Rails.
Or like SvelteKit for Svelte.
Or like SvelteKit, yeah. And the Phoenix has this feature or like this concept called Live View. And with that, you can build frontends. And that's also where Live Svelte is built on top of. And that's where the name also comes from. So Live View, Svelte, Live Svelte sort of thing.
Makes sense. So what is Live View? Like, can you explain how it works, sort of?
Yeah, so the way I would explain it is if you're familiar with backend templates and how you would just render an HTML template, and after that you don't really have any connection with the website anymore, you just have it on in your browser, and you can do API requests and stuff, but that's different. Live View sort of keeps that connection alive. So it keeps a WebSocket connection alive. And you can build sort of these templates that are declarative, a little bit like how Svelte does it. So actually there's a lot of overlap there, where let's say you click a button, it would send the request back over the WebSocket to Live View on the server. And then it would re-render the template, but it would do it sort of in a smart way, where it only sends the HTML that has changed, and then it gets updated in the client. And so you have this like sort of reactivity with the server, and you don't really have to use any front-end language. It's pure Elixir or pure Live View. And like I said, the template that you're building is very declarative, like in Svelte. So you have if statements, for loops, that kind of stuff. You don't have to imperatively say, okay, now do this or do that. It's sort of just with message passing, where if you click a button, a message gets passed back. And then the HTML gets updated back over the WebSockets, and then updated in the front end. Sort of the concept.
It's definitely interesting. Like, it's a different way of doing interactivity, right? It's like in the Svelte world, we would click a button and it would kind of, you have state on the client, but in live view, you keep all the state on the server, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So exactly, yeah. That makes it, I suppose that would make it easier to reason, right? Because you're not copying the state back and forth all the time, like you would in a JavaScript application. I guess downsides here, you need the latency to the server, right? Is always there, right? Because every click, you would have to send a message back, and then that would in turn send a payload back with the difference of what's going to render, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So the latency itself is fine, but like, let's say you lose your connection, then stuff might not update anymore. So that can be sometimes an issue. But in practice, it's actually very, very nice to work with and very responsive. But that's a big difference to something like SvelteKit, where you don't have that local state. You can have your SvelteKit application completely local and things sort of still work, and you can interact with things, but that's not the case with LiveView.
All right, cool. So you've been working on, for the hackathon, you worked on this live Svelte thing. Maybe you can talk a bit about like what inspired you to use Svelte? Like, why would you, do you need Svelte in an Elixir app? Let's start there without Phoenix. Like, why would you want a front-end framework for when you're working in Elixir?
Yeah, so there's many cases where you want some JavaScript interaction. And there are ways to do that in LiveView and in Phoenix. So they have this concept of hooks, where it's not the same as like in the front-end world hooks, but it's just a way to hook into the lifecycle functions of LiveView on the front end. So you have your mounts and you have your updates and you have your destroys. So whenever the mount is just that's obvious, but then the update is whenever the LiveView changes. So whenever your state in LiveView changes, and these hooks, they're not very front end modernized, I would say. So if you're working with Svelte and then you're going back to hooks, you feel like you lost a little bit of functionality there, where you're really writing, you're purely writing JavaScript, and you can do some stuff with it, but it's more hard to import a package or just have a declarative template that does something, like you click a button and it just does something, and then it just works. You don't have to, like with hooks, you would have to do a little bit of jQuery kind of behavior, I would say.
Right.
And that didn't feel right to me. So so because I'm coming from like a Svelte, some Svelte experience, and then I was like, oh man, this is like, it's so good because you're so close to the server and you have all this, like you don't really have to make an API. That's a big thing. You can just call your database and you can make your API. You can make it in Elixir, and you can just make the functions and everything. But you don't have to have this this REST API or this GraphQL, which you can do, of course. There's ways to do it, and it's very easy. But like, it's a very nice way to work that way. So I kind of wanted both worlds together, and that's where I found this prototype by Ryan Cook, and he did it in a little bit of a different way, but the concept is the same, where you have these components, and these are Svelte components, and you insert them into your live view. And they work sort of seamlessly with Svelte and live view together. But I'll talk a bit about that later. But that's sort of where the idea came from, like that frustration of, I have to go back a little bit to what is old, and I want to have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, so you want the developer experience of writing declaratively all the time, exactly, rather than just most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. So this live Svelte thing, how does it work? Or does that make sense to ask now? Or are there other parts in between that we should explore? We're all pretty Elixir noobish here. So
let's just first say what it does, and then maybe after that we can do other works, because it's still not very clear. Well, for me it's clear, but I think the thing is not clear. So just imagine that your Svelte, so you have your Svelte components, and you can have multiple components, and they're sort of your main components. And your export props of your main Svelte components are server reactive. So whenever something changes on the server, then your export prop would also change, which is something we're used to in Svelte. If you're having a child component and you're just making, you're updating it that way, and that's something you're used to, but you're not used to it being server reactive with, you're not being used to it being reactive with the server. And right. So these things, they can be influenced from other users, for example. So like, let's say you have one user doing something that changes in the database, and then you have an event. And in Elixir, it's all relatively easy to do this kind of stuff. And then your Svelte component would update automatically. And what you can do with that is also that you can combine these states together. So you can have local state and server-side state. So since you're in a Svelte environment, you can use your local variables like how you would use Svelte in a normal way. And you can use these exported server variables. And so you can create this really cool, like interactive, very easy to understand features where you don't really have to think about, okay, yeah, now I need to update something on the server. So I need to have an API that does something. And the only thing you have to do is send an event with maybe some data attached to it, and it's optional. Mm-hmm. And LiveView takes care of the rest. And your server, your exported server props, they would update automatically. So you would not, for example, like let's say you have a number, you would not mutate that number in the client. You would actually send an event. That event gets sent to LiveView, and LiveView updates the number. And the number automatically updates in the client. So you would have this sort of circle where you're sending events this way to the server, and your props gets updated automatically on the other side. So the thing that it's doing.
That's cool. So it binds together like the live view diffing thing and Svelte or as a template language then. Oh, that's pretty cool. So I had an idea here. So does it mean like, so LiveView, does that make it easy to build kind of these, what would you call them, multiplayer experiences? Like say, for example, Google Docs. Is that something that you could build using this pretty easily?
Exactly. Yeah. Those kinds of things. So LiveView by itself, default is just by per user, per connection, but you can sort of bind the LiveViews together, sort of like you can subscribe to events, and then they can be updated in each live view. So you can have these sort of multiplayer experiences pretty easily. Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Because we're thinking about doing a VR meetup. And I'm thinking, so we're going to use like a, so I don't know if you've heard of Threlt. It's like the, I always mix these up. Is it 3JS or is it D3? Or what's it called? 3JS.
I think 3D or D3 is the visualization stuff.
So. Yeah, I always mix these up, and Grisha always pings me afterwards, and he's like, "Oh, that's not the one; it's the other one." Anyway, so they have this new XR module for working in AR and VR. So I was planning on maybe we can build like a virtual kind of 3D environment where people can walk around, and then I guess it would make sense to use something like LiveView there to sort of like bind everyone's position in the room together in a way.
I was wrong.
I don't know.
It's 3JS.
It's 3JS. Okay.
Yeah, it's 3JS.
it's hard to keep them apart.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're aren't they very similar technologies too?
Not really, because one is about like working with graphs and stuff or motion. I don't remember. Maybe you know.
It's kind of like blowing my brain. I'm trying to think of like how you might do that in SvelteKit. And then I was kind of thinking like, is this kind of like streaming? But streaming is about data going across the wire. And I'm like, all of this, like this is why I stick to front end. This is why I like my bubble.
That's kind of the thing, though, with if you use something like LiveView, I mean, you would have to still create the backend for it, but you would at least get the multiplayer part automatically, sort of. So that's interesting. I know there's a project called Party Town. I think it's called. Yeah, Party Kit.
Party Town is the one that you put in to offload your third-party services from the browser. So you put them onto a different
thread. It's Party Kit. I'm thinking about Party Kit. So that's completely about doing multiplayer experiences. But I think it's like that's a company that runs that. And so it would be more fun to build it myself or ourselves, I guess, depending on who
Party Kit is Sunil Pai's company, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, so that was just like an interesting, because I hadn't thought about, I was planning on using PartyKit for that multiplayer bit, but maybe I should actually start learning Elixir, because I've been wanting to learn Elixir for years. Like it's been very enticing to every time I see a video or talk about it, I get very excited and I want to learn it. so maybe this will be the thing that actually makes me jump in and actually learn.
There's
too many
things like that in our world where you just want to learn it and there's not enough time in the day.
And I just saw also a bit of a tangent, but do you guys know about Elm? It's like the functional programming language for the web. It compiles to JavaScript, but there's a new one called Rocklang, I think, that's supposed to be a successor of sorts. I don't know. We'll see.
But I'm good with
interesting.
That. The whole Rust like thing. People wanted to learn Rust.
Yeah, there's Rust as well.
I'm good. And I have enough trouble with JavaScript. I don't need another language.
Yeah. I always feel like I tried using Elm for a bit and it was just too much boilerplate for me. I found it to be pretty tough to work in, but that's probably on me. But LivesVault, can you just replace the Phoenix, like the template parts of Phoenix using that?
Yeah, so that's the really nice thing. So because these templates, they're very similar in functionality, actually. So Svelte is very declarative, and then these LiveView templates are very declarative. And so it's not imperative where you have to say, do this, do that. It's just you write it down like as in if statements and for loops, basically. And so you can, in Elixir or in Phoenix, you also have this components concept, just like in Svelte, basically, where you can import Elixir code and that kind of stuff. And LiveSvelte is basically a component you would just import the components that replaces some part of your live view. And the code would not look so different from it. And so you, of course, the syntax is different, but the general structure is very similar. So yeah, that's the way I would use it. So you have maybe some piece of code that you want a little bit of more client-side interaction, and you remove it and you replace it with a component, and you copy over the template code and you change the syntax, and that's basically it.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess Svelte being just sort of HTML, it makes it pretty simple to just copy it over.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had a brief look at the library, and I saw the way it looks like in LiveSvelte that you push events up is you call a function, you get like a prop called push event. Is that right? Something like that you call on the client? Yeah.
So there are two ways to do it. So you have push events, which is, it's also an exported prop, or maybe now it's like something you just import. And this is just a function you can call with, it should have a message name. So it can be increase number, if you have a number, but that's a very simple example. And then you can also send some data along with it optionally. You don't have to, but you can. And then that sends the message over the WebSocket. And then in Elixir, you have to capture it. So you have basically a function that captures certain events. And then you can do whatever you want with it. So then you're in your backend language and you can create something in the database or update the number or or whatever you want. And so that's one way of doing it. So you can do it with a function. You can just call a function. Or you have these attributes you can attach to HTML. So you have like Phoenix click, for example. So phx-click. And you add it to your button.
Oh,
and
right.
And you assign it the message name, so the message that you want to send, and you can also add values to that, so you have Phoenix value. And so if you then click that button, it also works. It's the same thing. So
interesting.
Yeah. So you don't have to use the sort of the imperative way of calling a function to do something. You can just say what it should do inside HTML itself. And that's also a nice thing. You can just copy over in LiveView this code and to the Svelte component, and it would still work. It's just the same.
Mm, nice. And so looking at the features here, you have support for Tailwind out of the box, I think. That's great if you're a Tailwind user. I am nowadays. So I didn't used to be, famously, but we all get there in the end, I think.
Yeah.
But then there's also, so I'm looking at the features here, and there's something called dead view. I guess that would make way more sense for someone that knows how Phoenix Live View works. So is that what you were talking about earlier when you lose the connection?
Not specifically. So in because you have live views, dead views is just another name for a static template. So Yeah. So in Ruby on Rails or something, you have just templates that you send. So you can also just have these components, these live Svelte components inside your static templates, because it is just a Phoenix component. And Phoenix components are supported across live view and dead views. So that's just what a dead view is. But yeah, it's just a fancy name for just a static template.
Yeah. What about there's something called live JSON? What is that?
Yes, so that is a little bit more specific to, because so the problem is that if you have a lot of data and you're always updating, let's say you're making a big game with a lot of data, there's a board and there's stuff going on, and every time that the game updates, then you would have to send the entire game state across the websockets. Right. By default, and live JSON is a way to make a diff of your previous game state and your new game state, and just send over the diff. And so you have these really small messages that you will be sending over instead of the entire game state every single time. So live JSON is something that that is in the Elixir community that you can. It's another package basically, and you can integrate with it.
So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I did not know that was a thing. So that makes it easier to that makes it even easier probably to make a multiplayer thing. I assume I could just store the state of the conference, the virtual conference room on the server, and then just send diffs back and forth of the actual state.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, let's say, because you were talking about VR, every time you have an update, a change in position of the user, you would send a message with that position update. And you can do that a lot. You can send a lot of messages back and forth. And then you would have we would have the entire state on the server, and you can do whatever you want with it. And then you can just send the small diffs across the wire.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. I'm getting more and more excited.
Once you go a little bit into Elixir, you'll definitely oh, wow, these concepts are really, really cool. This is really, because it's very different from other backends that you might have used in the past. It's very, because it builds on top of the Beam, which is the Erlang virtual machine. It has a lot of functionality that you wouldn't otherwise get with a normal backend. There are a lot of cool concepts like that.
And I assume, so since they built it for communications, this would also be a perfect use case for it, communicating between different...
Originally, it's just connecting telephones together, but then you realize the internet is basically that, but times 100. It's just sending data across different things and just... like so it suits very well for these backend purposes.
Here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Welcome to the new era of content management with Contentful. Say goodbye to the limitations of traditional content systems and hello to a world where collaboration sparks innovation. With Contentful, you're not just managing content, you're creating content-first, multi-brand experiences across all channels effortlessly. The best part? It requires zero coding. Empower your teams to collaborate and innovate, delivering impactful digital experiences at scale. Contentful's AI-driven platform not only streamlines content creation, but also ensures it aligns perfectly with your brand. Ready for a game changer? Start with Contentful for free today. Unleash the potential of your digital content and drive your business forward. Learn more at contentful.com.
So when it comes to Svelte, I don't know if you've heard about the recent Svelte 5 alpha, if you've had time to check it out. But I was thinking, like, have you looked into upgrading LiveSvelte to Svelte 5? Maybe it's already there. I don't know.
Not yet, but a community member of that was using the package did it, and they said it was not so difficult, but I haven't looked at it myself.
Right.
The one thing that might be very cool that's currently a little bit weird. So there's functionality for slot support. So you can have Elixir code inside your component, and it would be used in your Svelte component. And so that currently works, but it's not perfect because we're sort of hacking the Svelte code and like updating the slot, and sometimes it breaks.
Right.
So I put it as sort of an experimental feature. But with Svelte 5, you have these snippets, and I feel these snippets, they're just props, and props work. Yep. So if you can just pass a snippet, it might be that it just works very well.
And out
that
of the box,
You can have these like Elixir in Svelte, and then maybe even
Svelte
like,
in Elixir.
Yeah,
and then just go all the way down.
Yeah, because now the main problem is like once you have your Svelte components, you can't really easily go back to Elixir if you want to. You can't just like, oh, now I want to have live view stuff again. I don't want to mess with Svelte. It's not so easy. But if you have a slot, then you can just say, okay, everything that goes in here is just Elixir code, and it's just HTML basically. So it looks like it might work, but I still have to test it out and see if that's the case.
I think Svelte is doing a lot of stuff where they're kind of hacking the Svelte code too and using things that they're going to have to refactor. But I've been thinking about slots a lot, and with the new snippets thing, the only thing I'm a little concerned about is how do you do something ambiguous? You don't know what is going to go into that snippet. How would you do that? Like, I mean, in a design system, there's a lot of times where I just want an empty slot so people can put whatever they want there. How do I do that in this new system?
So I think there's a, I'm pretty sure there's a default thing that you can specify. I don't remember the syntax off the top of my head. Maybe it's on the preview site.
Yeah. A lot of times I was looking at it, it looks like a function, like you pass it arguments, and then it's like you put in the markup you want, but I don't know the markup. I don't know what I'm going to want to put there. I guess I could put a div. I don't want to do that.
I think the default is called children. So
it's like very reactive. There's a prop called children. That's right.
Yeah,
I do remember seeing that. Okay, maybe I know there is a way. I just haven't really looked at it yet, but yeah, I figured there was.
I mean,
a way,
we're not even sure the syntax is properly final yet, right? So,
and then
we'll see.
Is there still a way to do like the Svelte colon element?
I think so.
They didn't do away with that.
No, okay. Just the complicated parts of the slot API.
Okay.
Because that was pretty confusing, like the let colon
something. Yeah, having to do like declare the let within the component just to use it, that was confusing. Yeah. There were lots of things that are confusing. The reactivity blocks, those are confusing. A lot of things they're doing, I agree with. I was just concerned. Yeah. Some of the things that I'm using now, I'm concerned are going to go away. And then upgrading those incrementally even seems like a lot of work.
I think you'll like it, because, you know, it'll get simpler overall, I think.
Yeah, so hopefully. I think it will. And at least it's incremental too. And you have multiple versions to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You can just upgrade in your own pace.
In Rich's own words, like 3 to 4 was difficult because of the removal of CJS. 4 to 5 should be a very easy upgrade, and then you can take your time on adding in the features.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already running the Svelte Summit website on Svelte 5, so. But YOLO.
We'll see. You are on a cutting edge technology, though.
I have to, right? Technologies are having a much harder problem getting to 4. I actually broke the site when I did, because it stopped updating like the variables. I'm sure I did something wrong.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be some things with the adapters too that they're going to run into because of the platforms. The platforms are going to have issues with some of this stuff, and they're going to have to work through some of the bugs on those ends.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had any issues with the Vercel one
Vercel and they work at Vercel. You're not going to have issues there probably.
But I mean, the Node one issues probably.
On Netlify and on Cloudflare and on AWS.
Yeah. You might be right.
I'm not trying to rant right now, but I have issues on Netlify with Storybook all the time.
Right.
And yeah. Netlify and Storybook work together. And every time I build a SvelteKit Storybook site, it breaks. And I have to go to the Storybook maintainers and be like, why is this happening? And we have to look at something. And it's like because of PMP and workspaces, usually, because Netlify does not have great support for them still.
That's odd. Maybe just they should fix that. Speaking of Storybook,
this is apparently unpopular opinions already, and I'm getting
maybe this can be your unpopular opinion. But yeah, I had a question like because that I think Storybook brings up an interesting question. Like in the Elixir world, like are you familiar with Storybook? First off,
yeah.
So are there similar things in the Elixir world? Like where you can kind of preview stuff like that. Maybe you don't really work in a similar kind of way.
I don't think there's exactly something like Storybook, but there is a concept of components, like I said. So you can have button components and whatever, and you can make sort of your own kind of version of Storybook, I guess. But it's not as easy to use as Storybook, I think.
Okay.
But I might be wrong because there might be a package that I just don't know about.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, what kind of like other things are there that make Elixir exciting? Do you have any something to push me over the edge to start using it?
Which feature should I?
I don't know. Anything that's cool. Yeah. I guess Phoenix Live View is like the really cool one, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really cool one. Another one is, so everything in Erlang runs in a process. And this is not a OS process. This is an Erlang process, and it's very lightweight. So the famous example that people always bring up is WhatsApp was using Erlang, and maybe they're still doing it. But on one machine, you could run 2 million processes, and each process can be a WebSocket connection, for example.
So one user, basically.
One can be one user that is connected and that is sending some data. And this concept of processes is really powerful because you can run all your code. All your code is by default in process, but if a process crashes, it's not a big deal. So let's say in another language, you have maybe you're using threads or whatever. But if it caches, it can be a big deal. Like, you have to think about what's going on, and you have to say, okay, if it caches, then I have to make sure that I clean up everything correctly. In Erlang or in Elixir, that's not the case. You just let it cache. And in case that you need to process again, like let's say you have a WebSocket connection that needs to be there all the time, and for some reason it's disconnected, it would automatically reconnect. So they have this concept of supervisors and stuff, right, which pick up these processes and boot them up again. And then you can also think about this, like you can go inside the process, so it's very observable also, and you can see what it's doing and how much data it's using, and these kind of things are not so difficult to do. So I think that's already like a really big thing. Yeah. And then you can also connect these virtual machines together. So you can have like, it's just really cool in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound very cool. I immediately thought about like when you said like you can just let it crash. You cannot do that with Node. Right?
No.
You have to do catches everywhere and like figure out, make sure it doesn't end up somewhere that crashes the whole application. All right, that's pretty cool. I also heard like Discord uses Elixir with pretty great success. If you look at Discord,
rarely, I thought it used Electron. Any issues.
Yeah, so that would be for the front end. So I think they use React and Electron for the front end, and then for the back end, it's Elixir, I think, at some point at least.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think I looked it up recently, and it's, I think, mostly Elixir for Discord.
Yeah.
And it is the perfect kind of technology for that kind of stuff. I mean, WhatsApp was built with Elixir or with Erlang. And it's really for any kind of like multiplayer kind of thing, where like chat is ultimately like a multiplayer kind of thing, it's perfect.
Yeah, cool. All right, unless we have other questions, Brittany, do you have any more questions? Or if there's something that we missed about LiveSvelte that you want to talk about, Wout?
Not really. I think we touched on most things.
Cool. All right, then we can move on to unpopular opinions. Maybe Brittany wants to go keep going on our PNPM rant.
I want like better PNPM support across the board. I ran into it on Gitpod, and I know Willow works there, Ghost, one of our other ambassadors, and she said that they support PNPM, and yet I tried to run PNPM in a PNPM workspace on it and got errors, and Ben had a PR up in like 5 minutes of me putting it in because he's ridiculous, but it's just like I feel like a lot of people use PNPM at this point, and we should just support it and not have to worry about these weird bugs.
Should just switch to Bun. Just skip all of the package managers, just use Bun. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. All right. I don't have an unpopular opinion this week. Wow, you mentioned you might have one, or
maybe I don't like TypeScript as much as other people. that would be an unpopular opinion to have.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely a net positive TypeScript. So I use it in my project, but sometimes it's a little bit when you just have too many types in JavaScript, and you have to really learn a lot about these types, and so it's sometimes a pain, but I do use it and it's a net positive. But I think maybe JavaScript could use a little bit more of the functional ideas. I think that would improve the language the error rate of your code, or like it would reduce a lot of bugs. I think a lot of the mutability in JavaScript is a problem. If you have just immutability by default, those kinds of things I think are more interesting than adding types.
I guess there are some ways to work functionally in TypeScript, I guess, or JavaScript, right? There's Ramda and other kinds of libraries, but It's always like they're kind of tacked on, so it never feels like it's as smooth as you want it to be, kind of.
The issue is always like, oh, you're using this library, then why are you doing that instead of having it default immutable?
Yeah,
I think that should be the case. Okay, you can't just say, oh yeah, let's make JavaScript immutable. But I think these kinds of things, like for example, Elm you brought up earlier. I haven't used Elm, but the ideas that language has is way more interesting than TypeScript to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Same with Rock. If you've looked at that, I think that seems nicer than Elm to me. But yeah. All right. Cool. Picks. Who wants to go first?
I'll say my pick.
Yeah.
So if you want to get into Elixir, and you just want to spend 30 or maybe an hour on it, watch The Soul of Erlang. It's by I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Sasha Jurek, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And it is just the perfect intro to Elixir and Erlang and what it can do. And it's I had sort of the same reaction when I was first getting into Svelte. I watched Rethinking Reactivity by Rich Harris.
Yeah, classic.
And that really blew me away. It's such a good talk. And I felt the same with The Soul of Erlang. It's just shows you like, okay, these kind of ideas, they're very interesting. And maybe that's the way backend languages, they should go in that direction. So definitely watch that.
Yeah. I think you're muted, Brittany.
I wasn't saying anything important.
Oh. All right. Do you want to go next with your pick?
Sure. I guess I'm going to pick Loki. I do another podcast. I don't think I picked it on this podcast. I picked it on the other podcast, right? So
the TV show?
We watched. Huh?
The TV show?
Yes, the TV show, Loki. We watched the second season, and it's been so long since a lot of these COVID shows have been on that I didn't remember them. And we watched the whole first episode without realizing. I mean, we remembered bits and pieces of it, but we were like, where are we at in this show? And then we kind of figured out that we'd watched the first season and we were supposed to be in the second season. And then we got through the second season, and it was really, really good. So if you've seen it, go back, watch the second season. It's really good, but it took me a minute because it has been so long since it's been on.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it as well. Pretty good. So I'm also going to pick a TV show. It's a British show called The Lazarus Project. It's about time traveling and stuff. It's pretty... So it's about this shadowy government group or something that works behind the scenes to stop cataclysmic events in the world, to save the world, basically. It's pretty good. And they just released the second season, so I've been binge-watching that this last week.
This sounds like... Someone told me about this show that's like AI, but they use it as like trying to find the Holy Grail, and they use it as like, is it faith or... AI can guide your life like faith can guide your life. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sounds like that kind of show. I think I would really like
both. I mean, that sounds interesting as well. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember what it was called?
I don't. I'll have to ask. what was that show? The Lazarus Project is yours?
Yep. Two seasons,
and what,
I think.
What is that on?
Ooh, I don't know. HBO, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
We need to do show notes and actually put these in show notes.
I mean, I do. I actually do that. So.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They do show up in the show notes.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. I think that's it for the show. Wout, maybe you can tell people where they can find you.
I would say go to my website, wout.space. So wout.space, a space is a TLD. Mm-hmm. I'm not really active on Twitter, but you can find my Twitter there also. And if you're looking for a freelancer in Svelte or Elixir, Django, Python, definitely hit me up. So,
yeah. Awesome. Cool. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. It was a pleasure. I'm very, very interested in Elixir. So this was a lot of fun for me, even though I don't know that much about Elixir. And of course, thank you to all of the listeners. We will see you again next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Kevin. If you like the show, please drop a review on your favorite podcast player. It would help out a lot. Thanks.